Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we'll begin in verse 1, and we'll just read down to verse 4. We'll look at some other verses tonight in the chapter, but we'll mainly concentrate on verse 4. Paul begins in verse 1, and he says, "Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Now, here's why, back up there in verse 1, here's why he said, "I would that you could bear with me," and "bear with me." Here's why he said that, verse 4. "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you've not received, or another gospel, which you've not accepted, you might well bear with him." And what he's saying here is you bear with me now in what I'm about to write to you, because these men that are preaching another Jesus with another spirit and preaching another gospel to you, you're bearing with them. You're receiving them and giving them your ear, so give me your ear. That's what he's saying here. Now, he's not commending them for that. False preachers are never to be received and promoted by God's church. Never to receive false preachers and promote them. John, over in 2 John 1 and verse 9, he said, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God." Now you listen to that, that's a simple statement, but that's a very dogmatic statement. He that transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house. He's talking about the Lord's house. Receive him not, a preacher like that. Neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Now, this was the one thing, or one of the things, that caused the most trouble in the church at Corinth. They began to give an ear to false preachers. That's where this most of their problems started. Now, every true preacher that's sent by our Lord Jesus Christ must preach, first of all, repentance from dead works and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. He must shut sinners up to Christ, turning them away from their works. And he must preach the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace in Christ Jesus. He must preach the gospel clearly so that there's no misunderstanding that he's declaring salvation is by God's free grace, by God's sovereign grace, by Christ through the Holy Spirit. And the third thing that God's preacher must always preach is we must warn sinners of false preachers. Brother Eric just read what we heard our master command us to do. To forgive our enemies and love our enemies and to not judge men. And that's what we should do. And he also said this, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Men gather grapes from thorn bushes? Or do they gather figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." So, in the same, in another passage in Matthew, I believe it is, right after he said, "Judge not that you be not judged," he turns right around in the very next verse and says, "Don't cast your pearls before swine." We need to learn what "judge not" means. If you don't judge, you go through life, if you don't judge every day, you'll be taken away like the Corinthians were being taken away. It's one thing to expose somebody for preaching falsely. It's another thing to pass judgment on them and condemn them to hell. That's judging them. Don't do that. But we must warn sinners of false preachers. We must do it. Today, everybody's crying up love in the name of, you know, we're all right and nobody's wrong. That's not so. The Bible says salvation is by God's will, by Christ's works. So if a man comes along preaching that salvation is in any shape, form, or fashion by man's will and by man's works, he's wrong. That's just all there is to it. So we're not all right. There's one God. There's one Lord and Savior. There's one Spirit. There's one gospel. That means there's just one gospel. There's just one truth, and everything else is wrong. And that truth's revealed right here in this book. We're not saved by man-made creeds. We're not saved by man-made denominations. We're not saved by any kind of feelings that men say that you have to experience in these things, or anything else that men say. Scripture says we're saved by God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through God-given knowledge, taught us by the Holy Spirit, which brings us to cast all our care on Christ. That's how we're saved. But the question I have for you tonight is, how can we recognize a false preacher? The Lord said you'll recognize them by their fruits. How can we recognize a false preacher? Paul gives three marks of a false preacher here. And a false preacher can be detected by one or by all of these marks. First of all, he preaches another Jesus, whom we've not preached. Secondly, he has another spirit. He says, or if you receive another spirit. And he's talking about receiving a false preacher who has another spirit. Preaching of another spirit, which you've not received. And then thirdly, he preaches another gospel, which you've not accepted. Three marks of a false preacher. First of all, he preaches a false Christ, a false Jesus. He says, if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus. Our Lord warned us that in these days we live in right now, that there was going to be many false Christs, and that men would be pointing to many false Christ. He said, there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should receive the very elect. And he said, so when men come to you and they say, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Now, you may not think that's happening in our day, but it happens in our day all the time. My preacher preaches Christ. Y'all come over here and go to church with me over here. Another comes along, oh, our pastor preaches the Lord Jesus. Y'all come over here where he preaches. Here's Christ over here. Here's Christ over there. There's many false Christs and many false preachers. That's what the Lord said it would be. You may think that we ought not to warn men of this, but if they preach another Jesus, we have to warn men. Now, how do you preach another Jesus? Well, first of all, if men preach and tamper with who he is. You know, some people preach that he's not God in human flesh. That's another Jesus. That's another Jesus. That's not the true Lord Jesus Christ. The true Christ of this Bible is God in human flesh, begotten of the Holy Spirit in the womb of a virgin, God with us, the God-man. That's the true Lord Jesus. So anybody that preaches that he's not God, that's another Jesus. Jehovah's Witnesses, so-called Jehovah's Witnesses, that's first question. You're not asking them any question. Just don't give them an ear. But if you want to ask them something, just ask them, number one, who is Christ? Who is Jesus? Is he God? And they'll say no. They might say he's a God, or he's the Son of God, but they won't say he's God. Their Bible, John, first two or three verses of John, is totally rewritten in their Bible so that it doesn't say the Word was God. If they declare lies concerning what He came to do and what He accomplished, they preach another Jesus. Now, there are several things we could say here that differentiate the vast variety of false and lies that men tell about the Lord Jesus, but there's four things that are just clearly revealed in 1 Corinthians 1:30, and those four things is what differentiates the true Lord Jesus from every other Jesus. The true Lord Jesus is the wisdom of His people. Whenever we're born again, the Scripture says, of God is Christ made unto us wisdom. That's when we're given the mind of Christ so that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Before you know anything else, you're going to know Christ. And you're going to learn everything else in the light of Christ. That's where you come to first. You've brought to believe Christ truly is who He says He is. And you have wisdom given you from Christ. And that, everything else you learn from Him, in light of Him. Until you have Him, you don't have the key to this book. When you have Him, you learn everything in light of Him. He's our wisdom. And the true Lord Jesus Christ is the righteousness of His people. On the cross, by Himself, He purged the sin of His people. He justified His people. He brought in everlasting righteousness for His people. He is our righteousness. Well, I'm not trying to keep the law. I have. When Christ kept it for me. I have perfectly kept it. You say, well, what about all the sins you worried about in the future? I'm not worried about any sins in the future. He put those away too. You realize if you've perfectly fulfilled the law, past, present, and future, there's nothing else God can do but smile upon you. And that's what we have in Christ, the Lord, our righteousness. And another thing is, the true Lord Jesus Christ is the sanctification of His people. He is sanctification to His people. I'm not looking to me for sanctification. Christ is my sanctification. Of God is Christ made unto us sanctification. Scripture says, by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. This He did on the cross. Then in the new birth, when the Holy Spirit comes, the Scripture says Christ is formed in you in the new birth. You made partakers of the divine nature. And when you made a partaker of His divine nature, that new man that is one with Christ is holy. You can't get more holy than the Lord Jesus Christ. And that new man is holy. And Christ then, from then on, He doesn't further sanctify you. He teaches you grace and knowledge of Him. And that's where you grow in. But with Christ in you, you're fit with that holiness without which no man will see the Lord. You have it because Christ is our sanctification. And the true Lord Jesus Christ is redemption to His people. Of God is He made unto us redemption. Remember when our Lord said, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. If the Lord Jesus Christ makes you free from the law, you will be free indeed, I guarantee you. If the Lord Jesus Christ frees you from the dominion of your sin so that you can, for the first time in your life, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be free indeed. If the Lord Jesus Christ frees you from this body of death and resurrection, you'll be free indeed. And if the Lord Jesus Christ frees you from every consequence of sin and glorification, you shall be free indeed. But Christ will be the redemption. He'll be the one that does it. And He's the only one that can free us. That's what redemption means, is to be freed. To be freed from the law, from the curse of the law cursing you. To be freed from the dominion of your flesh so that you could not believe on Christ. You had to keep adding your 2 cents. To be freed from the consequence, body of sin when you're resurrected, and to be freed at last from the consequence of it when you're glorified. All that is redemption. It's all by Christ. If Christ sets you free, you'll be free indeed. So that's, if any man comes now and he's saying anything else, adding anything else, that what I just declared to you is salvation A to Z. If man adds anything else, it's another Jesus. That Jesus he's preaching is a failure without you. That's an idol. An idol can't leave that. If you got it sitting on top of that piano, it can't go anywhere but sit on top of that piano unless you pick it up and you take it somewhere else. Well, that's what a Jesus is that can't do, can't save unless you help him save. That's a false Jesus. So that's the first sign. They preach another Jesus. Now here's the second mark. He preaches by a false spirit. He says, verse 4, if you receive another spirit which you've not received. Go to John 8. I want you to see this. I think this is needful. John 8, verse 44. Look here, John 8:44. He said, he's talking to his Pharisees, and he said, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own self, of his own accord, for he's a liar and the father of it. Those three things right there that the devil does, that's what every false preacher does. Who's preaching by the devil's spirit. That's exactly what he does. He's a murderer. He's murdering the souls of men. He will not abide in the truth. He's going to change the message. He's going to alter God's word. He won't abide in the truth. And number three, when he speaks his lies, he's not speaking by the Spirit of God. He's speaking of his own sinful, corrupt flesh. That's the three marks of another spirit right there. The devilish spirit causes a false preacher to preach for covetous gain. This is at the base of all of it, covetousness. The Lord said in Jeremiah 6:13, from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, talking about false preachers, every one of them is given to covetousness. From the prophet to the priest, everyone deals falsely. So what he's saying is in some shape or form, the reason, the main motive of a false preacher is covetous gain. Our text shows men want the praise of men. They covet applause from men. Look at verse 5. Paul says, I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we've been throughly made manifest among you in all things. See, why is he saying that? Because that's what these false preachers were accusing him of being rude in speech and rude in knowledge. And they were trying to get the applause of men by their intellectual speaking. Speaking lofty and above people's head and make people marvel. And that's wanting the praise of men, wanting the applause of men. And then another reason is monetary gain. Wanting money. Look here in verse 7. Here's Paul's spirit. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted? Because I've preached to you the gospel of God freely? The richest church Paul preached in, most wealthy people anywhere Paul preached, wouldn't give him a dime. And he wouldn't take a dime from them. He went there and preached free. He said, have I committed an offense because I preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. Now, other churches supported me so you wouldn't have to, he said. And when I was present with you and I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I've kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore? Because I love you not? God knows. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. You see, he said, these men here, they were, if Paul would have taken money, they would have used that to say, well, see, Paul takes money from you. That's why you should give us money. And Paul said, I'm not going to let them do that. I'm not going to let them use me as an excuse to try to get money off of you. And he said, I won't do it. If they want to glory, let them glory in the way I'm glorying. Let them glory that they came and preached to you freely. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. Why? Because they covetous for money. Covetous for money. That's why preachers that move from church to church to church to church and get a bigger salary or more glory with each move they make, I got a big problem with that. Now it's different if God moves a man once and a man stays there the rest of his days, and you know, and I've seen that happen, and that's a totally different thing. But I'm talking about after the third or fourth or fifth or sixth time, there's a problem, there's a red flag. Covetous for glory over what they make men do by their lawmongering. Remember Paul said, they don't keep the law. They want to have you try to make you keep the law so they can glory in what they made you do. Look here at verse 18. That's what these men were doing. Paul said, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For you suffer fools gladly, seeing you yourselves are wise. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. That's what they said. See, they used their lawmongering and forced the Corinthians to do things, preaching law to them, smiting them. And they used that to say they were much bolder and preaching with the power of the Spirit than Paul. Paul was weak. Paul said, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherensoever any is bold, I'm speaking foolishly, he said. I don't want to glory at all, but I'm just doing this so that y'all can understand. I'm bold also. You see, where these men were glorying in? They were glorying in smiting men and getting men to do what they got them to do. That's covetousness. Covetous for the praise of men, covetous for money, covetous for what you can make other men do. Exalt yourself in the process. So these are reasons men handle the Word of God deceitfully. It's another spirit. Now here's the third mark of a false preacher, right here. He preaches a false gospel. You say, well, if he preaches another Jesus, isn't that another gospel? Yes, because Christ is actually the gospel. But they preach other doctrine too, besides just a false Christ. They preach another gospel. The true gospel declares that all sinners are totally depraved. Totally depraved. You know, TULIP is the best acronym I know for the gospel. Total depravity, unconditional election. God chose his people not based on anything in us, by grace. Limited atonement. Christ came and laid down his life for a chosen particular people and accomplished their redemption. Irresistible grace. The Holy Spirit quickens whom he will. We're made willing in the day of Christ's power. We're given faith by God. We're brought irresistibly to believe on Christ. You can't resist it. You can't resist it. And perseverance of the saints, which is by the preserving of God's hand. So God gets all the glory in it. But men will come and they'll preach another gospel, and they'll say that there's some goodness in man. There's some goodness in man, so that salvation is a step-by-step process. Some of them say it's at the beginning of your salvation. You have to come down to the front of the church, and you say a prayer that the preacher tells you to say, and then you're baptized, and you're saved now. That's another gospel. That's another gospel. Others put it on the back end of salvation. They say that, no, God has to do everything to make you willing by his grace, But then once you're called to faith in Christ, now you got to go back to Mount Sinai and start keeping the law and make yourself more and more and more and more holy till you're fit and you've made yourself ripe to walk into heaven. Both of those are false gospel. Any work that we do that we think makes ourselves to differ from another is law. It doesn't matter if it's coming down the front of a church or if it's trying to keep the Ten Commandments, whatever it is. Do you remember when the Apostle Peter, he's sitting at a table. He's a believer now. He's sitting at a table with some Gentiles eating pork and whatever, everything that's forbidden in the law. He probably was eating crawfish. And here comes some Jews. And they come walking up, and all Peter did was get up from the table and went over and sat with those Jews, because he didn't want them seeing him over there eating that good food, because God forbid it in the law. Well, he knew Christ fulfilled all that law. He knew all that law pointed to Christ. He knew every bit of that law was fulfilled by Christ. Why'd he get up and go over there and sit with them then? He knew he wasn't justified before God by his works. Why'd he get up and go over and sit down then? Paul called it this: walking not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. That's what he called it. He called it dissimulation, bringing believers back under the law. Now, Paul was speaking of that act Peter did as a believer. Peter wasn't trying to say by that act that he was justified before the judgment seat of God by that work. That wasn't what he was trying to do at all. You know what he was doing? He was trying to show that he was holy. That he kept the law. He just ate what God told him to eat, and he didn't eat those other things. He was trying to show that he was sanctifying himself. And you know what Paul said? He said, you know we're not justified by our works. Well, of course Peter knew he wasn't justified in heaven before God's judgment seat in matters of righteousness. Of course he wasn't justified by his work. Peter knew that. Paul's not talking about that. Paul's talking about you're not justified before men by your works either. When you think you are. Now, there's a difference between Abraham doing something and his work justifying the fact that his faith was genuine faith. That's one thing. But when a man's trying to justify before men himself, consciously, to show that he's a holy man, that's justification by works. It's exactly who Christ was speaking to when he said this: you are they which justify yourselves before men. I say that because these fellows that tell you, want to talk about progressive sanctification, they'll say, oh no, we're not justified before the judgment seat of God. No, no, no. Christ alone is our righteousness. We're talking about sanctification. That's what Paul was talking about. And that's what Christ was talking about right here. You are they which justify yourselves before men. But God knows your heart. See, there's where true holiness is in the heart. And if a man is not sanctified, that's where he's not sanctified, is in his heart. And God knows the heart. And that which is highly esteemed among men, looking with these eyes, is an abomination in God's eyes. God's not looking the way we're looking, and he don't like what we like. God looks on the heart. He likes the heart he made holy, made new and holy. And that heart's not... If you're sanctified, I'll tell you what you will not do. You don't want to do anything to try to make... If you catch yourself trying to show somebody your religion, it makes you want to turn and run the other way. That's holiness. You don't want to do anything to try to justify yourself on purpose before men about what you believe. You don't want to do that at all. You don't want to try to show anybody what you are. Because that's vain, self-made sanctification, what that is. That's justification by works. That's the sin. Paul, remember after that, Paul said we're justified by the faith of Christ, not by our works. That's why we believed in Christ, maybe justified by the faith of Christ. He said, but now once I profess that I'm justified by the faith of Christ, if now I'm found a sinner, what sin's he talking about? What Peter did. If I'm found to be that kind of sinner, he said, did Christ work that? Is that true holiness? Did Christ work that in the heart? Go read Galatians 2. That's exactly what he's talking about. Paul said, God forbid, Christ didn't work that. That's what he sanctified us from. That phony, fake, outward religion trying to put on a show before one another. That's what he sanctifies us from. So a man comes preaching that mess, you know, you're hearing another gospel. It's another gospel. And that's what y'all been in it. That's what everybody up here in these Reformed churches is preaching. That's what you hear. Reformed Baptists won't have nothing to do with us because we don't preach progressive sanctification. We give Christ the glory for sanctification. It's not. I'm not any more holy than I was the day I was born again. And if I'd have died, if the Lord would take me to glory that day, I'd have had the same holiness I got right now, and I'd have the same holiness I'm going to have for eternity. Christ. Well, let's see here. The Lord said this, straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. You know why the way is so narrow? You know why the gate is so straight? Because it's just Christ. It's Christ only. It's faith in Christ, trust in Christ, believing on Christ and resting in Christ. Nothing else. Not plus anything, not minus anything. Christ only. And the broad way that men are going in is just add something. Just add something. Whether it's your decision or it's your church membership or it's you know church attendance or whatever. Just add something. That's the broad way that leads to destruction. The straight gate is Christ only. He said, I'm the door. If I told you that's the door right there. Y'all look back there. That's the door right there. And you see that's the door. Well, you know if you start veering over here, that ain't the door. That's the window. That's the door right there. Christ said, I'm the door. So if a man starts trying to come up another way, he's not coming the one way. He's not coming through the straight gate. He's not coming the narrow way. He's not coming through the door. He's trying to climb up another way. Just Christ. Christ only. That's the true gospel. Anything plus or minus is another gospel. Now let me say this because I know what men are going to say. But doesn't the gospel declare that his people serve him? Yes, it does. His people serve him. And his people do good works. They sure do. And those works do justify the believer's faith as being the genuine gift of God. But the believer's not trying to do that by his work. Abraham, when God said go up there and offer up Isaac, Abraham didn't sit there and go, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go up there and offer him so I can show these boys my faith. That's not what he did. Those fellas that went with him in little ways, they went him on his mind. He was looking to Christ. He wasn't even trying to show Isaac his faith. What did he say to Isaac? My son, God will provide himself a lamb. He pointed his son to Christ. And by that, James said, that work justified the fact that he had real, true, God-given faith. If he would have said, now I'm doing this because I want everybody to know my faith is real. That's why I'm going to go do this. God, Holy Spirit would have never had James write anything about Abraham. Never. Because that wouldn't have been the same thing. Yes, God does cause his people to do good works, but God does it. Christ works in his people. The Holy Spirit makes his people fruitful. And so God gets all the glory for it. And you know, if you think about it, think about an apple tree. An apple tree is not trying, it's not straining to make apples. God made the apple tree, makes it make apples. And it just does it because it's what it is. It's an apple tree. Lord said, you make the tree good, his fruit will be good. Well, God makes the tree good. Christ makes his people righteous and holy totally redeemed, so that by him working in his people now, the fruit that they make is good fruit. But they're not walking around straining and worrying and, oh, how am I going to produce some fruit today? I got to produce some fruit today. If you start thinking like that, you're going to bring forth a bunch of rotten dead fruit. Just get up in the morning, thank God for the day, and go about your business. And whatever God puts in your way to do, do it with all your might. Thank God for it. Praise him for doing it. That's the life of a believer. That's the work God puts in you. So what I'm saying to you, salvation A to Z is by Christ. Even to the good works his people do, he gets the glory. If anybody comes preaching anything else, show them the door before they even cross the threshold. Show them the door. Amen.